In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
This is Adrina Oshana. I'm one of the co-producers of this podcast. You guys have probably heard my name in every episode. I am finally behind the mic. Thank you, Robbie, for having me. We also have Stephen, our other co-producer. This week is going to be a little different.
No singing today?
No singing. I'm sorry, Anita.
Sorry. Anita, Adrina rained on your parade, so I'm sorry about that.
You guys probably don't want to hear me sing. So this week's topic is on turning your fear into faith and courage. I'm sure some of you guys have gone through this or will be going through this. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to be going back and forth and asking questions and try to see how we could turn and apply using the Word of God and the scriptures on, you know, turning our fears into faith.
How ironic is it? Adrina is shaking. She's shaking of fear because she thinks that, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. Well, this is gonna, podcast session or topic is for you. So there you go.
All right, Robbie, take the mic.
What do you want to know? What are the questions? I think this is it's one of the questions that or one of the topics one of our listeners has suggested that we talk about. And I know you yourself personally have asked me a few times, but you know, what is the issue? Like what you know? And I'm going to be speaking to you, directing the questions or my answers to you. But this is in general, and I'm sure that you know they say the best question is the one that is not asked because. Right. Everyone's too scared to ask that, too fearful to ask that. So what would you like me to cover on this topic?
I guess, how do we find the freedom of being tormented mm-hmm. by certain thoughts, mm-hmm. any anxious thoughts that we get, mm-hmm. anything? And so how do we find that? How do we get through that using the scriptures?
You know, while you were speaking, I was thinking about this. And hi, everyone. Yes, this is Kasia Jenard. A little bit flu-y, congested, because I'm recovering, thank God, from a bad cold. But that's why, and thank God I don't have to sing, because I think if we began with singing in my voice now, then I think everyone would have just switched off. But in any case, as you were speaking, and something came to my mind. St. Paul writes that there is no temptation that will overcome you or has seized you that is not common to everyone. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most important things we need to always keep in mind, and it is encouraging, it is uplifting as well, and it's one of the answers that you're asking me is how do we? Always remember that the world that we are living in, which is so, and I always mention, so so wicked, first and foremost, so challenging, and so unpredictable. These things that we go through, these elements, this fear, the temptations, the trials, we must always remember that I'm not the only one that's going through this, regardless, be it financial, be it spiritual, be it relationships and what have you. Because this world, which in the liturgical books, the church fathers write that this world and the God of this world, God with a small g, which is Satan, You know, there's always the good and the bad power. There is a holy power. There is a evil power. There is God, praise and glory be to his name, who is righteous and holy and pleasing and wants everything good for those who fear him. You know, St. Paul writes, all things happen for the good of those who love the Lord. Jesus has encouraged us by confirming us and assuring that, you know, fear not, little flock, for is the will of your Father to give you everything that is good. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, there is Satan, there is evil, there is the enemy that is always at work as well. And Satan's working through his powers. Demons, mm-hmm. powers, yeah, demons or angels, you know, the fallen angels. So whenever we go through any trials, any temptations or fear and uncertainty and doubt and, you know, slipping away, sometimes falling away, our amazing, our glorious, our awesome, our holy Lord God Jesus Christ has pre-warned us. And the verse that comes to mind is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of temptations. Fear is an element of temptation. You know, Satan tries you, tempts you, plays the fear factor on you. Mm-hmm. So, woe unto the world because of temptations. You know, in Assyrian say, Jare. I feel pity for this world, Jesus is saying, because there's going to be temptations. You know, you will face and you'll go through many trials and temptations and you know, shortfalls, shortcomings, and fear is one of them. For it must needs be that temptation come. I mean, it has to come. Why? Because the enemy will never ever work for the children of God, will always work against the children of God. But woe to that man by whom the temptations come. You know, someone was asking me, Rabbi, why is Jesus feeling pity for us? This is the Lord. This is God who has control over everything. He was creator of heaven and earth and all that we see and those that we cannot see. Why is he having pity on us? What good is that going to do? You know, sometimes when you feel pity for someone, that is the good that you're doing for someone else. Mm-hmm. Because through that pity, you may wake someone up. You know, sometimes we say, you know, when for example, we're talking and you're talking nonsense and you're talking, you say, I feel so sorry for you, right? Mm-hmm. And you think, when you say that in a, not a encouraging way, but I don't want to say sarcastic, but in a pitiful way, it makes that person think. When you say, oh my God, I feel so sorry for you. You're so lost, you know. That's what Jesus is saying. So, first, from the get-go, remember that we're always going to face these challenges and these struggles and these temptations because Christ has taught us. And why, as he pre-warning us, he went through all of this. He went through temptations. You know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, everyone thinks that Christ, as hastily to say, as macho man, was ready. Come on, I'm going to take death. And yes, he knew he's going to overcome death. He pre-warned or pre-told his disciples, the Son of Man will be captured, will be tortured, will be, you know, handed over and they will kill him, but he will be risen. But when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated blood. His sweat was blood. Mm-hmm. Now, science or medicine will say that because he was under so much pressure, as a human being, you know, this is our humanity he's taken on. He was under so much pressure, fear, anxiety, that his glands started to produce sweat. Yeah. And the sweat was blood, right? Why did Jesus go through all that? Couldn't he have just taken it just, you know, he could have overcome death, but he didn't. He did it for you and I. To show you and I today that when we fear, when we fall, when we are tempted, when we doubt, when sometimes we become lukewarm in our faith, in our church attendance, in our Bible reading, in our fasting, in our prayers, it's not the end of the world. That's what people think. That's it. Oh, I'm going to hell.
And I think that's what we all struggle with because we feel like it is end of the world.
Mm-hmm. For us.
For us, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, the reason I'm telling you this, Adrina and beloved listeners, is because I go through that. If people think priests have come down from heaven. Priests are sewing machines. In English, we say
machine. So how do you remind yourself daily?
Exactly what I just said to you. Now, Now, let me also give you this disclaimer. When I say this, I'm not saying that as soon as you put this in mind and start remembering, bang, you're up and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to take on the world. It takes time. Christianity, beloved.
It takes time.
You know, some people preach repentance, salvation, and, you know, do you know Jesus Christ? As if it's at a click of the finger. One of my friends used to say, Christianity is not a 100-meter dash. Christianity is a marathon. It's a marathon of struggle and fear and temptation, but at the same time of victory as well. And, you know, when we think we have overcome in this world, that's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, those who are standing in the faith, be careful you don't fall. We haven't overcome. We are still not victorious. We are constantly winning our battles through Christ. But we become totally victorious is when we receive that crown of eternal life. So this is what I convince myself, and I encourage myself, just as an example and giving you my testimony, is that I remind myself that, you know, you're only a human being. Yes, you're the man of the cloth. You should be an example, you know. Like, I remember when an amazing brother of mine passed away, Subdeacon Sean. God rest his soul, yeah. You know, I was deeply in sorrow and I was crying. And my brother priest said, Rabbi Kash, at Kash, duk lagyanuch. You know, yes, I knew where he's coming from, but I thought, no, I'm a human being. I'm hurting, you know. But then again, yes, I must be an example. But I don't want to be that false example to say, oh, no, I don't hurt. I have no emotions. I have no feelings. Yes, we do. But the way you overcome is constantly reminding yourself that my God is an awesome God. My God is a loving God. My God despises sin, but he'll never ever hate me or desert me. I may hate and desert him. Right? So I think first and foremost is remember that we will go through this. This is a part of life. This is the woes that Jesus gave this world, you know. And I love Romans chapter, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, is it? Where St. Paul says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. Let me find that verse for you. Just bear with me. It's my favorite verse, but I don't know. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot, you know, in the English version, it says sympathize. But in the Aramaic and the Peshitta version is who cannot feel sorrow for us for when we sin. Why? Because he was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. Right. So when we do have these difficulties, fear one of them, and I'm going to let you ask more questions, is the first and foremost, don't think that you're the only one going through this. No, there are people that, like yourself, struggling with this. You know, that's why it's good for Christians to constantly converse. You know, in Proverbs, we read, as iron sharpens iron. So right now, we're trying to sharpen one each other's countenance. Like, so maybe there's listeners out there thinking, also, if Kasha goes through it. You know, when I was young, let me tell you, such a humor. I used to think that priests and bishops don't even have that normal digestive system. You know what I'm talking yeah, about, yeah. Right? I used to think, no, priests don't go to the bathroom. They're priests, right?
Did you think they were robots?
Yeah, I just thought maybe it just, you know, until my mum, God rest her soul, clipped me in the ear and said, no, priests are human beings. They, you know. So maybe there is now someone, there's a little bit of a consolation that, well, if the priest, a man of the cloth, who's constantly in prayer and reading the scriptures and fasting goes through this, hey, who am I that Satan won't try to tempt me? So,
thank you, Robbie. Do you think having this fear is because people are probably lacking faith? I mean, is it normal to be going through like this?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a easy way, a getaway when we say, oh, you lack faith. For example, I heard someone, a preacher was preaching and said, if you pray to the Lord and for healing and you're not healed, you don't have faith. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Because let me ask you a question. St. Paul, 3 times, prayed to the Lord so that he would take out the flesh in his thorn. Some say stomach ulcer, some say it was his eyes he had a problem with, and some say he had some sort of a medical issue. So, and he wasn't healed. So does that mean since St. Paul didn't have faith? No. God replies and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Today, let me give you this example. Praise the Lord. Like, everything happens for a reason. God is not, you know, our lives are not ad hoc. They're not chance. We don't believe in chance. Qismat, qismat. No, it's not qismat. It's blessings from the Lord. I woke up this morning, today's Sunday, the Six. March 6th, my wife's birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, yeah. Thank God I remembered, right? Happy birthday, dear wife. I woke up this morning, early in the morning, when I left my house, as soon as I left, it was cold, I got a headache. I felt it come on. And all during the service, my head was throbbing. And you know, during the liturgical service, we're always singing. So every time I love to raise my voice and show off, mm-hmm. right, my head would throb even more, so I toned it down. You know, let this be a testimony. I prayed. I kept saying, Lord God, allow, you know, take it away from me. I don't want it to, you know, be a stumbling block. I don't want it to be a thorn in my flesh. And when I said that, I thought, you fool. No, God's grace will be seen through my weakness. And I completed the service. I preached the word of God by his grace and mercy. And I, the most unworthy servant, completed the service and what have you, right? So it doesn't mean that I didn't have faith, because, you know, even then I was sometimes thinking, well, are you having faith? I'm imagining the Lord laying his hand on my head and I'm thinking, well, where's the hand? You know, like, where is it? And I'm telling you, these thoughts are going through my mind. But then I thought, no, it's not about you not having faith. God has a perfect plan for this. God wants to show me, his most unworthy sinner, so that this can be a testimony. Don't think that every time you ask God at the click of the finger, God's going to reply. No, sometimes he's gonna leave you in that fear, because there is a perfect reason. There is a testimony one day. So no, it's not. And I'm not saying it could never be. Yes, obviously, faith plays the most important role in everything. But let's not just, judge people and say, or judge yourself or put yourself down and say, oh, maybe I don't have faith. You know, just by thinking about, is it the faith factor? You do have faith, because you're thinking about faith, you know. But faith is not that I receive everything according to my will. Faith is I receive everything according to God's perfect will. And I always say, Daniel had a lot of faith. Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was, which is impossible without God, and to interpret the dream. Now, the interpretation wasn't impossible. Some people interpret dreams today. They have the gift of interpreting dreams. Mm-hmm. But for me to come and say to you, Adrina, I want you to first tell me what was my dream last night. You're thinking, are you out of your mind? Tell me what it is and I may be able to interpret it. So look how much faith he had that God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel, and Daniel then interpreted and changed Nebuchadnezzar's heart, and yet he ended up in the den of lions. Did he not have faith? Come on, you can't tell me he didn't have faith. This man's telling people what his dream. No. At times, maybe, possibly, but it's not always that you don't have faith. You know, it's good to examine. I mean, it's good to test yourself and think, well, am I asking with the wrong motive? Am I asking God something that is not really necessary? Am I asking God because I want it, and am I tempting God? You know, so that's what we need to examine, not so much the faith factor, but mm-hmm. what the motive behind the request is. So no, it's not always faith. It's not always faith.
You know, you've mentioned a lot in the past few series about how we're the salt and the light. So if we are that, then how...
Four series, wasn't it? The four segments. Four series. Salt and the light, yes.
How can we, or how should we be courageous of this world, you know, when we're trying to turn our fears into our faith and being courageous?
You know, I think courage comes from, obviously, when you speak, faith is faith in our God. Faith is the most important, as I said. So from faith, we need courage as well. I take a lot of courage through, I mean, those around me. Yeah, I take a lot of courage through those people in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus called and worked the most amazing miracles. You know, Simon was a fisherman, and I mentioned that this morning. Simon was a fisherman. It's like you go to the wharfs now. Wharf, they're called wharf. Like, how do you call them wharf? The fishing wharfs, right? Yeah. You always have something to the fishing
wharf,
wharf. And there's another, sorry, deck. There you go. That's Stephen's voice. He said he's not gonna speak. Yeah, we got him speaking. The fishing deck, right? You don't see an old person, you know, with his fishing clothes on, and this is his life, and you speak to this person, you say, hey, what's Pythagoras' theorem, or you know, or what's happening in the world? You say, well, I don't know, this is my life, fishing. And then this man gets up, and after a year or so, you see this man in a hospital healing people. You think, is this not that fisherman that I saw? So Simon was a fisherman. And when God called, there it is, there's the ambulance, you know, talking
Welcome
about,
back.
I'm going to talk about healing, so here we go. You know, he's Simon making a noise. Welcome to Turlock, California. So Simon was a fisherman, and when Jesus called, and when God's plan was fulfilled in this man's life, the first thing he did is first he preached, and 3,000 people believed. These were his enemies that wanted to murder him. These were Christ's murderers in Acts chapter 2. And in chapter 3, it's the healing. Gold and silver I have none, but what I have in the name of Jesus, arise. Now you may say that's a disciple. That's a disciple, an apostle called by Jesus Christ. We are the children of God. Our encouragement should be that we too can overcome through Christ. That's my encouragement. That's how I become encouraged. You know, when there are times, let me confess, there are times when, you know, as far as preaching is concerned, and, you know, giving the message, there are times I doubt and I think, you know, I have no credentials. I haven't any ology credentials. I have no degrees. As far as academia, year 12 in St. John's Park High School and repeated in Liverpool TAFE College, did worst. From there into the banking field, and from the banking field in the into the acolyte services, shamasha and a priest. And sometimes I think, how effective is it, you know? But then I come back and I remember this, and I think, well, if I think I'm going to do it, then I'm forgetting about the power of God, and I'm forgetting that it's Christ who works through me. That's what St. Paul says. So when we go in fear of anything, maybe fear of death, fear of resentment, fear of rejection, fear of, always remember that we have a God that will not resent us and will not scare us and will not annoy us and will not leave us. Christ has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? But again, always remember that fear and temptation and the wickedness of this world, we're all in the same boat. I mean, you know, praying for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and the war between Russia and Ukraine. And I don't want to get into the politics. People think they know the politics. No one knows the politics except those who run the politics, right? But what we see today is innocent people dying. What fault do they have? Nothing. Innocent people fleeing their homes, leaving everything behind. Our people, the Assyrian people, this has been our history. Fleeing, constantly fleeing and leaving everything behind. Right? We're all in it together. But we have a Lord, we have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. And our courage should be through him, through what he's done and what he is doing today. You don't have anything else? She's saying, I don't have anything else. Yeah, I told you I'm going to do this to you, Adrina. Well, I hope that it encourages people. I mean, I could sit here and quote verses, and I know Adrina says, give us a verse, and then, you know, sometimes it's best to sit and think for yourself and ponder on these things, you know. Sit down and, you know, and this is going to be strange. Close the Holy Scriptures, close the Bible, and sit down and just contemplate. You know, sometimes it's good to do that. I'm a Christian. That means I've been put to death with Christ in baptism, and I've been brought to life. I have a new life with Christ. So being put to death with Christ, having a new life, doesn't mean I'm going to have a life that is pebbled with roses and what have you. Sugar. No, no, no. Look at Christ. Immediately after his baptism, he was taken away by the Spirit to be tempted. Why? To teach us that this is what we're going to go through, temptation. Okay. What did Christ face and encounter during his ministry? Rejection, opposition, hatred, lies. People were lying. Oh, he said don't pay money for the taxes, and he didn't say that. No, he actually said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay your taxes. He actually, and I love this, is when he said, Simon, go to the sea. And when he said the first fish, everyone stopped. All the fish stopped. Like Finding Nemo. I think I was preaching to the youth, right? Finding Nemo. You know how everyone's, because the boat's coming, everyone, all the fish are, you know, swimming. And then Dory clashes with, what's his name? Nemo's dad? Yeah. Marlon, whatever, right? The fish were all, and as soon as their Lord and their Creator, praise be to his name, said, fish, they all stopped. Our Creator has spoken. Right? He actually said, go, pull out the money and give, pay taxes. So he didn't. They were lying. He faced all of this. He healed their sick. He healed the blind from his mother's womb. And all they were concerned about was he healed on the Sabbath. So look at all the challenges Christ faced. And he is God. Praise and glory be to his name. Why did he put himself through that? Why did he go through that? Is to teach you and I that we're always going to go through these temptations. Do not fear. There's, I think, 365 days in the English version. Do not fear is being quoted in the scriptures. One for every day. Do not fear. Some people may say, yeah, but I still fear. Mm-hmm. So when you tell me do not fear, how do I not fear? Know that God is in control. Trust in God. You know, you have faith. You need to trust. You need to persevere. Now, between faith, trust, and persevere, faith and trusting is easy. Yeah, I trust God. But the perseverance is the most difficult one. Is that when you have to wait and continue in prayer, continue in fasting, and continue to remind yourself, I'm not the only one that's going through this, and God can see this. So whatever you're going through today, fear, doubt, say to yourself, I am a child of God. My Father who is in heaven loves me. I love the verse in Matthew 7 where Jesus says, if your son asks you for bread, will you give him stone or will you give him a serpent? You who are evil, right? That's what Jesus says. Meaning, Jenard, you're a father who are evil, love your daughters and want to give the best for your daughters and my grandson and the one to come. How much more your Father in heaven loves you and will not leave you and will always be there. He may let you go, you know, he may let you stumble, but to fall, he will hold you. He will carry you. And that's, if that's not encouraging, if there's no consolation in these, in those promises, well, maybe we need to ask God to help us to be discerned so that we can take heart of these promises. promises.
I feel like I myself have gone through, you know, times of doubting and not trusting. And I do say, I do trust God. I do have faith. Mm-hmm. And let God's will be done. But I always want my will. I mm-hmm. want all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are in times of, you know, going through that,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to remind ourselves, but at times it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we go through that?
Mm-hmm. The trust and the doubt and what have you. Well, again, the difficult times are normal. Remember that. But I think we need to, ponder on the word trust. You know, when you're in a plane and when you board the plane, and if someone asks, well, why are you not scared? You know, I love flying. And let me tell you, I've been through some turbulences. Not the ones like Shamasha Allen went through. Shamash, if you're hearing, if you're listening. Not the ones that he went through. But I automatically, I trust in the pilot. I think that this pilot is there. His life is at stake as well. So if he wants to just be negligent and just careless, well, he's going to be in the same boat as well, right? I trust to the point where the pilot will do his or her utmost to bring this plane down safely. And this is only human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's been times where it's been out of the pilot's hand and the plane has crashed and many lives have been lost. Okay, so I think when we say trust in God, don't trust as you want what you need. You know, I trust that God is going to increase my faith. No, maybe at that moment, God is not going to do that. I trust that God is going to strengthen me and he's going to give me courage.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it delays, you think, well, is it my faith? No, simple. I trust in God, period. That's what we got to teach ourselves. I trust in God, period. Not my will, your will. I trust in God that, let's use Daniel as an example. I love Daniel, the prophet Daniel. And I always use him as an example. When he was taken to be put into den of lions, Nebuchadnezzar said, he was very remorseful. Nebuchadnezzar believed and wanted him to spare him, but he couldn't. Daniel said, I trust in the Lord. Now, this is the trust. If I am to die this way, let it be God's will. Praise be to his name. But if God's going to save me, he will save me. And obviously the angel came down and put the lions to sleep. You know, I trust in the Lord that if I'm going to be in this struggle continuously, God can see this. God has not left me alone. God, not so much, not every time he's put me through this, God's allowing me to go through this. Mm-hmm. I trust there is a time where God's will be done. And you know, how you can measure that is look back in your life. How many times have you feared, have you doubted? And you look back and you think, look what part God took me through. And here I am today still a little concerned that my faith is in on a shaky ground. That's great because you still have that connection with God. You know, I think the worst place to be in life is when you have no conviction, there is no conscience, and when you just have no connection or under a thought, or your mind's just at in all completely distanced from God. Even when you're concerned about doubting, that's good, because why are you concerned? Because you're doubting that, you know, your faith with God. That's a medicine. You know, sometimes you have to hurt people to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Paul says, I am remorseful, let me paraphrase it, for your remorse, because I've caused you to be remorse and I've caused you to be hurt. I'm remorseful. But then again, I'm happy. Why? Because your remorse, your pain is for your salvation. So Paul had to put, I think it's Hebrews or is it Romans, had to put them in remorse and suffering so that he could save them through Christ, obviously. So sometimes we just have to be patient and wait for God's will to be done. How? Just pray for these things. Pray for patience, pray for perseverance, pray for trust. Before praying that, I want you to give me this faith, increase my faith. You know, I mean, the disciples asked Christ, Lord, increase our faith. Right? It was a beautiful question. Mm-hmm. And most of the times, well, no, 99.9% of the times, Jesus doesn't reply directly. He didn't say, well, give me some time, or in due course, your faith will be increased when you see me raise the dead. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. You know, so sometimes when we're saying, Lord, take this doubt away from me, just be patient. God could be saying, no, it's good for you to doubt. It's good because I have a plan through this. Because you're still asking me. In your doubt, you're still praying to me. You know. So these are the experiences I have. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are people who have experienced differently and probably would have other testimonies or other ways that they can overcome their fear and their doubt and what have you. But, you know, I think all in all, we need to be patient. And remember that Christianity is not a one day, one week, one month, 3 month faith.
I think we tend to forget that.
Mm-hmm. Christianity, you know, is a lifetime struggle. Goodness, beauty, there's beauty. You know, there's the comfort and compassion of Christ. But he said to Simon, Simon, when you were young, you would girdle yourself and, you know, you'd go out, chic beak, we say, you know. There will come a time where people are going to, you know, clothe you and they're going to take you places where you don't want to go, which is talking about his death. And so Christ never promised us a rosy garden, but he's promised us the way to continue through our struggles, through our tears and the pains and the suffering is through Christ's strength who strengthens us always. You know, St. Paul says, Philippians 4:13, I am empowered by him who empowers me for everything, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I hope I answered your questions.
You did.
And
thank
by the
you.
Way, Drina, Stephen was taking many pictures of you. You know what, I want to I want to take this time to thank you both. God bless you, the producer and the co-producers of the Double-Edged Sword podcast. Please do share it, your feedback. We'd love your feedback, your suggestions.
And if anyone wants to also do this as well and interview Robbie, please go ahead and message us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We can arrange it. Mm-hmm. We would love to, you know, do this in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. If people want to come and sit behind a microphone, and first they'll be sweating, and then
like
they'll
how
be
I
so.
Was.
See, she's no so relaxed now. You know, we need to mix it up a little bit. I mean, there will be continuous sermons and preaching, but you know, I'd love into. We may be able to do it through the phone. I mean, we can do that. Someone can call us. Yes, we can, Stephen. We can do everything. You know, the microphone's so powerful. We can put a cell phone here on a speaker and we can talk through the phone. Hey, we may do that one day. But it has to be live whether I'm...
Probably
the time
not.
Differences. Let's no. Not you know, I take it. But no, you're right, Stephen. It's going to be a little bit difficult. But in any case, anything that we do for the glory of God and we do for the salvation of souls. And to draw people closer to their heavenly creator. We have no hope. We have no expectation. We have nothing except Christ our Lord. Praise and glory be to his name. Thank you so much, Adrina. You made it
thank
so
you.
Much easier. And thank you for those who are listening. And God bless you until we meet or we speak again next time. God bless you and Godspeed.